All right, and welcome to another night of worldview. And I think that for me, it's a real wonder to be back here. I am Glenn Healy. I'm a physician. I am a doctor. Doctors teach, physicians prescribe. And my journey in medicine ended at COVID when, of course, the vaccine mandate required me to stop medicine. And so it's been almost 4 years. And what is nice about that is I've come to realize how completely messed up the field of medicine has become. And I wasn't able to realize that when I was inside because of the blinders that I had no idea were on me. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So for me, it was realizing that almost everything I learned in medicine is rubbish. And you may say, well, wait a minute, my doctor, my medications, my all of my problems. No, that's part of the rubbish. That fact is not depressing, though. It's really quite liberating and very enlightening. Scripture helped me. I look to St. Paul's conversion. St. Paul had the proper birth, the proper upbringing, the proper schooling. And he thought, including the stoning of St. Stephen, he thought he was doing the right thing. Then he, of course, met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he says, my surrender to Jesus Christ by faith has produced joy. I want to talk a little bit about the brain before we move on, because there is a joyous part of the brain that is enhanced by worship. And it's part of the frontal brain. It's called the anterior cingulate gyrus. So for those of us who did not study neuroanatomy, there's the hind brain. The hind brain is the part of your brain that monitors your blood pressure, listens to your breathing. You know, we're all breathing pretty shallowly right now, but every couple of minutes, you will hear a sigh. That is because your oxygen saturation dropped a little bit below what the brain thinks you should have. So the sigh instantly regenerates you. So blood pressure is monitored by what's called the carotid body, feeds right back to the hindbrain. Your heart rate, so all of the important functions are the hindbrain. All the cranial nerves come out of the hindbrain. So vision, hearing, smell, how our eyes look, these are all controlled by the cranial nerves. The most important one, and any of you who really are interested, should go and study up on the vagus nerve. It's my favorite nerve. It innervates everything. It literally, I mean, when you feel chills going down your spine, that's the vagus working for you. Anyway, that's the hindbrain. Then there's the midbrain. And in the midbrain, there's a structure called the amygdala. We need an amygdala. Your ducks don't have big amygdalas, because they're getting picked off by the eagles.
That's true.
So when we are confronted by a saber-toothed tiger, we're either going to stand and fight for our life, or we're going to run for our life. And the amygdala is what controls all that. When we get that burst of adrenaline, those corticosteroids, that is preparing our body to do one or the other. It is taking blood away from the digestive structures and putting it into our muscles so we can fight. This is what gives us superhuman strength. You've heard of people that have lifted cars. That is true. That's your amygdala working. It's beautiful. But it's supposed to stop like that. As soon as the stress has passed, the amygdala is supposed to shut down. And this is the fundamental problem, is our midbrain doesn't turn off. Because the perceived stress of living has driven us to keep that thing running constantly. And the inflammatory response is driven by adrenaline and corticosteroids. And so we are in a constant state of inflammation. Fortunately, we didn't stop at the midbrain. We have the frontal brain. That's where the anterior cingulate gyrus is. And the anterior cingulate gyrus is obedience, joy, honor, love. Those are the parts of that brain, the parts of the brain that are controlled by that. And we will see a very fascinating study that shows that that part of the brain can overshadow the amygdala very easily. So last time we talked about the origins and evolution of the medical mafia, right there. Core message is folks cannot take care of ourselves. We need professional help. That's both toxic and ridiculous. Tonight I want to shift the focus by faith in Christ Jesus. The world may be toxic, but we acknowledge that our bodies have an amazing ability to take care of itself. Our trouble, of course, is that we can adapt until the toxins are too great, too voluminous. Well, how did we actually get here? Genesis 3. So God is walking through the garden, admiring his work, and something's missing. They're hiding. So God asks Eve, "Why did you eat the forbidden food?" And Eve says, "The snake tricked me into eating it." So the last 115 years of medicine since the Flexner Report, we talked about that. That was the origins of the medical mafia. That has been the trickery. Before that, doctors would teach people how to live correctly, well, and in the land so that they would be able to they didn't need a doctor. God did a perfect job creating, this is, comes from David, creating the universe, but he also did a perfect job cursing it. But we have the perfect antidote. And that, of course, is Jesus' forgiveness, which imbues us with the Holy Spirit, which cleanses us. Now, this is not just a spiritual cleanse, it's a physical cleanse, a detoxification of the body. And then our walking with Jesus, communing with God, fortifies us to make us healthy again. So we're injured, we are cleansed, we are fortified. Forgiveness, cleansing, healing. So we don't need physicians. Matthew 9, Jesus said, healthy people do not need a doctor. So of course the question then is, how do I keep myself healthy? Three things. Trust God. Clean house. Help others. Those six words, if we really bring them into ourselves, will in fact provide us with everything we need to stay healthy. The most important of all to healing the mind and the body and the spirit, of course, is worship. Every day, we renew our faith and trust in God. I trust God. But I know that living life requires me to renew that, because I cannot live on yesterday's faith. I have to renew my faith today. Prayer and praise. Well, how does worship actually enhance health? There's an amazing study by a guy named Andrew Newberg. The control group did nothing. The study group, 12 minutes of worship a day for several weeks. At baseline, he did MRI scans of all of both groups. At the end of several weeks, he scanned their brains again. What he found in the worship group is their anterior cingulate gyrus had increased in volume and their amygdala had decreased in volume. That is the key. So when the anterior cingulate gyrus is fully functional, I am loving, honoring, caring, but I'm also praising. I am always praising. I am always praying. Because the moment I kind of get away from that, I deviate from that, Satan will enter. Judas told us, show us that. It's not hard for Satan to enter. But just 12 minutes of worship a day improved their outcome. So that's the way that we can actually improve our organs through worship. But then there's other things that we probably should be doing also. So now I want to talk about those little organelles called the mitochondria. So all of our cells have in them these little things called mitochondria. Without them, we could not be multicellular organisms, because there's not enough energy to run a single cell without mitochondria. So the mitochondria are these little organelles that generate energy. And they generate a lot of energy, because we need a lot of energy, particularly our brains. Tons of mitochondria in the brains. The trouble is that if mitochondrial function becomes hurt, we don't really notice it right away. We're a little tired. Gee, I didn't get a good night's sleep last night. I need a little more coffee today. When the mitochondria start to fail, the energy, it's still trying desperately to make energy. But the trouble is, God gave us another system, because sometimes the mitochondria cannot possibly keep up with the volume. And that is the fermenting system. And when mitochondria fail, the cells chronically ferment. Chronically fermenting cells are highly acidic. Highly mitochondrial functioning cells are alkaline. We want to be alkaline. Lovely lemon water. We should be consuming about a half gallon of lemon water a day to maintain. And lemon water is just 6 ounces of lemon juice and 64 ounces. That's a half gallon, right? Try to. It's a little hard. But remember, lemon tastes... It tastes bitter. That which is bitter to the mouth is good for the stomach. That which is sweet to the mouth is bad for the stomach. So lemon water is good, and unsweetened lemon water is better. Anyway, we want to be oxic and alkaline, not hypoxic and acid. Hypoxic acidic cells accumulate damage, and eventually the DNA will damage itself to the point where it transforms. And promoters allow it to then grow uncontrollably. That is cancer. If you maintain an alkaline environment, it won't happen. They can't survive in an alkaline environment. We also need oxygen. So breathing is critically important, but it's not just what we're doing right now. That's not really breathing. That's breathing. 4 seconds in, 4 seconds wait, 8 seconds out. Typically. Everybody's different. My wife can only do 6 seconds in, 6 seconds out total. But everybody's different. But that is breathing. That will infuse you with oxygen. We don't need a lot of oxygen right now in this room where we're just sitting around doing nothing. But the minute we do anything, even thinking, I need more oxygen than you because I am the one that's doing the talking. But also that breathing exercise is very parasympathetic. The parasympathetic nervous system loves that. So breathing is critically important to improving mitochondrial function, not only because it has more oxygen available to it, but also because oxygen is alkaline, hypoxia is acidic. Grounding. I love to work in my garden in my bare feet. Sometimes I step on things I don't like to. But after about a month, my feet are like iron. When we take the shoes off the horse, so a horse that's been shod has a soft sole. You take the shoes off, and for about the first 2 or 3 weeks, they cannot stand even a single little pebble. But after about a month, you pick up that sole, and it is flat and hard as a rock. So shoes are so that when I ride my horse all the time, I don't wear his feet down. That's the only reason they're there. Horses do not need shoes. And we do not need shoes. And in fact, when I go out in the garden shoeless, I instantly take in the negative ions that Mother Earth has to provide. In the dead of winter, when I'm not going out in my shoeless, I pet my dog. My dog is an iron sink. I pet my dog, I'm rejuvenated, dog runs outside, he's rejuvenated. So grounding increases negative ions in the body, which increases alkalinity. Footwear, acid. Bare feet, alkaline. Alkaline good, acid bad. Sunlight, especially sunrise. Sunrise, it's the red light. And we have found that it's 660 and 808 that does most of the good work. All of those red light thingies that everybody buys, you don't need them. Look at the sun. You can look at the sun. That's a lie. Look at the sun until your eyes say, I'm done looking at the sun. And then look away. But sunlight is excellent for mitochondrial repair because of those red light ions. And also the vitamin
D3.
Right. So if we live above Georgia, and we don't get enough D from the sun, even if we're out there, as I am typically, as close to naked as I can possibly get all the time. It's just too freaking cold for about 8 months of the year. So we have to supplement. If you go to your physician or your PA, always ask for vitamin D level. You want to know. They may try to make you get a cholesterol or a sugar or an A1C or all this crap, which you don't need. You do need a D3 level. And the reason you do is because you don't live in Florida. If you live in Florida, it's not a problem. So for every 10,000 units, and I typically take 15,000 units a day, for every 10,000 units, you want to take 100 micrograms of K. They work together. So if you're going to be supplementing a D3, don't take unopposed D3 if you can take more than 5,000 units. If you can take 5,000, that's probably okay. But if you don't, you want to take supplement with K. Okay, this is an educational discussion. I may be a doctor, but this is not medical advice. So those of you who are listening to this, consult your healthcare provider if you have any questions. Water. We already talked about alkalinized water. How much? A couple liters. But everybody is different. So look at your urine when you wake up in the morning. Don't drink coffee that day. No, I'm just saying, that day. Look at your urine first thing in the morning. It's going to be kind of a yellow color because you didn't drink for about 8 or 9 hours. Then when you have the urination mid-afternoon, so look at the color. If it's still yellow, you're already a liter down. If it's more yellow, you're already 2 liters down. And about 3 liters down, you start feeling lightheaded. And your crowded body is like struggling to keep the brain perfused. So just realize that without even trying, you can be 1 to 2 liters down, which is why you need 1 to 2 liters a day of free water in the body. So if your urine goes clear and you drink coffee, that's fake. Because caffeine dilates vessels. And the vessels that are most dilated are in the kidney. So you dump water into your urine. So your 11 o'clock urine looks clear. Oh, perfect, I'm set for the day. No, you're already 2 liters down. And you won't know it until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I am not saying don't drink, I drink coffee. But if you really want to know how much water you need, one needs, one has to do an experiment. N equals one. Do the experiment on yourself. Don't drink coffee that day. Yes, you might get a headache. But see what your urine looks like at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Salt. Not sodium chloride. And I don't care if they iodize it. Unopposed sodium chloride is damaging to the body. Why is that? Because you need all of the other minerals. It is unopposed sodium chloride that is responsible for the 3% of people who are really sensitive to salt that causes hypertension. If they were to consume, doesn't matter, sea salt, Himalayan salt, Celtic salt, doesn't matter what, because they have somewhere between 50 and 80 different minerals in them, all of which help not only to fortify us, but to detoxify us. Selenium, magnesium. I gotta get this right. Zinc and copper. Selenium, magnesium, zinc, and copper. Those are the detox elements. If you have a heavy metal injury and you're good in those four, you will flush the heavy metals out of your body. You don't need any of this, all this other detox crap. You don't need the detox crap. You do need to worship sun, water, salt, grounding, fasting. You really need that. So a minimum of 12 hours. Preferably 14 to 16 hours of not eating. So do all of my eating in 8 hours. I can't do that. I burn too many calories. And if I don't eat, after about 8 hours, I literally run out of gas. All of that glucagon in my liver is gone. I have no more sugar. It's gone. And I will fade fast. So it's hard for me. So if I'm going to fast, I do a one-day fast once a week. The Sabbath is really useful for organ regeneration. And it is probably the most useful day for disease prevention. What fasting does is it makes the body take store of itself. I don't see any nutrients coming in here. I better fix what I got because I don't know when the next meal is coming down. So the cells that are at the end of life undergo a very critical and important step called apoptosis, which is programmed cell death. This is what cancer cells forgot how to do. But the rest of cells are very good at this. And they say, yep, I'm out of here. And they're recycled. It also is the time for cellular repair. So all the waste products that are in there that are accumulating in my body have a chance to get out and the cells start to repair the injuries that happened because of life. Rest. Meditation, prayer, right? Anterior cingulate gyrus. I love you. Anterior cingulate gyrus. Without you, I am nothing. Matthew 11:28 urges us to turn off the world and rest. Come to me, all of you who are tired and carrying heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Part of rest is prayer and meditation, but part of rest is actually sleep. Of all the things I've talked about before, sleep is easily the most important. Our brains, when we are functioning and awake, have no time for cellular repair. So fasting doesn't help the brain because the brain is still doing things. So it's accumulating waste. And it just parks it in the cell and waits and waits and waits until rapid eye movement sleep. That roughly minimum of 4 hours of uninterrupted sleep per night. We can finally go into deep delta wave sleep, dream sleep, rapid eye movement sleep. That is the time when the brain has a chance to take the waste, pinch it off, and stick it in the cerebrospinal fluid. At all of the times, it is so that's the brain's Sabbath. And so without that, we can't function well. Now, yes, when I was an intern, 36 on, 12 off, and I didn't function well after about 18. But everybody's in the military know that you have to function well after 18 hours or you get dead. And I had to function well after 18 hours or I'd do something stupid and kill somebody. So that's why they made us do it, because they knew that one day I would be in a position where I would have to make a decision. And if I was unable to deal with it because I didn't get a good night's sleep last night, I'm going to kill somebody. Rest is critically important. Your mattress. Mattresses are scary things. Wool, organic wool, covered with organic linen or organic cotton. No springs. They're just little EMF detectors. And they say, oh, we cover them. That's BS. So I know you can't go out and buy a mattress tomorrow. And it's really hard to find what I just told you. I can't believe I threw my futon mattress out. It was 40 years old. It was perfect. I didn't know it. Exercise. I'm not even going to talk about exercise. We all know what we do. For me, it's hard not to exercise. I'm just constantly moving. So it's not hard for me. Let's a little talk about nutrition. The health of the body and mind. Daniel 1, a really fascinating nutritional study. Remember Daniel and his three friends? Nebuchadnezzar sacked Jerusalem, took prisoners, recognized that the Jews were pretty damn smart, wanted them in his court, said, "You will eat the royal food and we will teach you." Daniel, and it said to the court officer, "Yet I'm not. Just vegetables and water for us." He said, "But if Nebuchadnezzar finds out, he's going to kill me." He says, "Trust me. Test this in 10 days. 10 days later, the court officer decides they're healthier than the control group, which has eaten Nebuchadnezzar. And when, so he says, "Okay, good. Whatever you want." Now, of course, the vegetables and the water that they ate and drank has nothing to do with what comes out of the ground and comes out of the water today. So you have to kind of realize that it wasn't just vegetables. It was high nutrient dense foods, things that David finds out in the wild. That's the kind of food they were eating. And when Nebuchadnezzar finally did test them, they were how much? 10 times smarter than the control group. So healthier and smarter because they ate right and drank right. Excellent. So what should we eat? Fiber. Why do I start with fiber? That's the only thing the large colon gets. What we eat, our stomach and small bowel are so efficient that the only thing left for the large colon bacteria is fiber. So they've adapted. They consume fiber. So we need a high fiber diet. So I've kind of sort of moved away from juicing. I eat the carrots. I eat the oranges. I eat the apples. I eat the dates. Because I want to feed my large colon. Colorful and seasonal fruits and vegetables. The colors of fruits and vegetables determine their enzyme content. So we want to eat all kinds of color. My plate should be an explosion of color. It's harder in the winter, but you can figure it out. Sprouts, whatever. Foraging. Probably the most important thing to learn. Because there's going to come a time when it's going to be hard to get anything else. And we're going to need to know what we can consume that will keep us alive when we're running away or fighting. Because we're not going to have our refrigerator and our well because we're out fighting or running away. Grass-fed meats, including their fat and their organs and their marrow. Bone broth is an amazing elixir. It truly is one of those things that the first time you do it, you're like, why was I not drinking this all my life? But it's amazing how packed it is. Heritage grains. We were talking a little bit before. Back when they started grinding the grains so horribly back in the 19th, teens and 20s. And they made bread that was fluffy and soft. And that was different from the, that's bread. The stuff you find in the store, that's crap. That's poison. The reason it's poison is you look at the first ingredient. It says enriched. Why is it enriched? It's because people are dropping dead of riboflavin, thiamine deficiencies in the 20s. So rather than going back to maybe we'll grind it a little less so we don't destroy the enzymes, they added back the riboflavin, the thiamine, and the other crap that they needed to so that you could paper over the fact that it's now become a poison. Not to mention glyphosate, I don't want to go there. Heritage grains. Remember that organic is no longer organic. Regenerative farming is no longer regenerative farming. Big Ag has already usurped that. But if you trust your local source and you talk to your local, believe me, your local farmer wants to talk to you about how he grows his vegetables. He really does, and how he raises his meats. Because nobody ever asks him or her. They want you to know that they're stewards of the environment. Einkorn, grain, probably one of the best. Really hard to work with, but it's one of the oldest grains. This is not einkorn. When she makes einkorn, it's about this. It's tiny. It's really dense. You can carry it. It lasts a whole lot longer than everything else. But grind your own wheat berries would be another really good thing to do if you can. Milk. Now here's where I'm departing. Because almost every nutrition expert says stop dairy. They're lying to you. Because they've been lied to. Raw milk is milk. Milk is poison. Why? Homogenization and pasteurization. So Louis Pasteur, germ theory. René Deschamps, terrain theory. And they fought and fought and fought and fought and fought. And Pasteur got the government approval, seal of approval. And Deschamps didn't. And on his deathbed, Pasteur said the other guy was right. So pasteurization destroys all of the good bacteria that's inherent in the cow's milk. Homogenization takes the fat and forces it through these tiny little holes, the tubes, which shears the fat, shears it, and makes it sharp. And when you drink that, you might as well be drinking knives. It rips the gut apart. Stop drinking or eating anything that is pasteurized and homogenized. This is kind of difficult because cheese, yogurt, kefir, I like these things. So you have to find a source of raw milk. You have to find a source of raw kefir. You have to find a source of raw yogurt. And this is the hard one. Find a source of raw cheese. It's really hard, but they exist. Because it is not that dairy is bad. I grant you, every once in a while, somebody will be truly lactose intolerant, but you will find that if you put them on a raw milk diet, their lactose intolerance disappears. Because they're not lactose intolerant. They're poison intolerant, but they're not lactose intolerant. Grass-fed butter, lard. The Crisco, right? Remember Crisco? How great Crisco. Oh my God, it's an industrial lubricant. How sick. How absolutely sick. It was like those mountains of fluoride in the 1950s. We got to do something about this fluoride. This is an industrial byproduct. Ah, just put it in the water. Perfect. Let's get rid of it. It's destroyed so many people, but I'm just getting beyond it. Coconut oil, extra virgin olive oil, red palm oil. Just was reading about that one. I don't know where to find it. I'll find it. But red palm oil. These are really good sources of fat. It's far, hard to find grass-fed butter. I have to admit. But it's out there. No industrial seed oils. Oh, my God. That virtually eliminates about 90% of the liquid things in your supermarket. Soy, canola, corn, sunflower. No, you turn away. Because they're all extracted with chemicals. It is incredibly dangerous. No simple sugars.
No what?
No simple sugars. Honey, good. And the other one that's kind of funny is they say, don't eat all those fruits that have high sugar content. That's BS. The sugar content in an orange is not sucrose that you get out of the sugar bowl. It's mannose, fructose, galactose. It's all these other ones. And there's a whole spectrum of how they are metabolized. From very fast, sucrose, to very slow, mannose. And that spectrum allows you to eat something that's kind of high sugar content, and it's not going to spike your sugar. Because you don't need a lot of insulin. You eat the equivalent amount of sucrose that's in a orange, and yeah, you're going to get a nice spike of insulin. You keep doing that, and your insulin level is going to stay high. You become insulin resistant. Your pancreas is going to burn out. Diabetes. So our obesity and diabetes epidemic has been run by the sugar industry. Beautiful, beautiful. I mean, how... I wish I was an advertiser in the 1960s, because you could lie and make billions. And I remember when they said, milk is bad. When you get to be 12 years old, stop drinking milk. This is when milk still came, and it was screaming on top. Why? Because they wanted to transition me to Coca-Cola. Right? And other simple sugars. And the problem with that is that the pancreas is like, oh my God, oh my God. I can't do it. I just can't do it. I'm sorry, I can't. Don't eat simple sugars. Now, this next part, detox, it's not necessary if you're healthy. One exception to that might be parasites. Because even a really healthy person can still be infested. And yet, if you really are healthy, your immune system, I've seen great video of about 30 white blood cells chasing down a parasite and killing it. So you don't need a parasite this, a detox that. I do a detox bath. 1 cup sea salt, 1 cup Epsom salt, 1 cup borax, 1 cup baking soda, and just a big puddle of water. A few drops of essential oil, I like lavender, but I've used ginger, I've used chamomile. And what these do, I mean, first of all, it opens your pores to allow the stuff out. But also, these salts draw the stuff out. And then we already talked about how magnesium, selenium, zinc, copper, supplement if necessary. But that's all you need for heavy metal detoxing. A little word about mercury in the amalgam. Yeah, don't have that done. I mean, yeah, I get it. There's a lot of guys online who are saying you have to rip the teeth out and stuff like that. Don't do that. I get it that it's leaching into you, but your body can handle it. You just have to realize that if it's one straw broke the camel's back, so if you're heaping all kinds of toxins, what part of the supermarket is left? I just told you, you can't go to the dairy case because it's all pasteurized. You can't go to the meat case. That's scary. Oh my God! You can't even go to the vegetable aisle unless you know the numbers, right? Four? What's four? The little tiny numbers that are underneath the dole. If the first number is four, what does it mean? GMO. Pesticides and herbicides. First number is eight, GMO. First number is nine, organic. But organic is crap because the FDA, in their infinite wisdom, decided that if you haven't used pesticides and herbicides for 3 whole years on that plot of land, it's now an organic plot. And whatever you grow, that you can call it organic. Bullshit. So ask your farmer, has he ever used pesticides and herbicides? And you also want to go on the PFAS map, the main PFAS map, and know it. Because there's lots of, I get hay that's got PFAS in it. I know it's got PFAS in it because I get it from a guy whose grandfather made a stupid decision in the 1980s. Cost him dearly, because all he can sell is hay now. He's had to get rid of his whole herd. But if you're not going to consume the horse, it's okay. Yes, it's probably damaging them, but their life is so wonderful that I'm willing to allow them to be a little bit toxic during the winter, because in the summer they're out in the pasture anyway. All right, that's about it. What's next? So a little teaser. I think that next time I really want to go over the foods that we can eat so we don't have to take vitamins and selenium and magnesium and all that stuff. Because I don't care where you get your vitamins from. 90% of it is filler. And some of those fillers are deeply toxic. So it doesn't matter. You go, oh, they're organic. And I want to spend a lot of time on DMSO. DMSO is wonderful. If you can find food grade DMSO, buy bottles of it. Because this is one of those things that's going to be very hard to find once people understand its healing powers. It's out there. Big medical publication this week showed DMSO plus chemotherapy is better than chemotherapy alone in cancer. They didn't do the control, which is DMSO alone, but at least they've got it in there. I use a 50% topically because I don't have food grade. It doesn't really matter. You can drink it, fine, but you don't have to. Just put it on your skin. 50%, why? Because in some people, 100% DMSO or 99.9% DMSO can be itchy. It causes a histamine reaction on the skin. So cutting it down, and if 50% is still too itchy, then 25%, 10%, 5%, 2%, doesn't matter. But it's absorbed directly into the skin and it appears to have unbelievable healing qualities. And you don't need to drink it because it's directly like skin. Word of caution, don't have anything on the skin that you put it on. Because whatever's on that skin you put it on, I don't care what it is, cow manure. I don't care what it is, it's going in with the DMSO. So wash your hands very carefully. Wash wherever you're going to put it on very carefully. And then put it on. If you want to have something in your body, you put that on, and then you put the DMSO on, and it goes right in. Beautiful. So that's one of the nice things about that, is it's easily absorbed by the skin. Chlorine dioxide is probably the most amazing thing. I'm astounded at its healing properties. And I want to spend a long time on that because I don't think it's just not useful. But I drink it at 1 to 2 parts per million about. And it is really good. Contact injuries. Shedding. Nicotine. So the N7 nicotinic acetylcholine receptor. Big word for what I will call the nicotine receptor. It is present on every cell in your body, in our bodies. Nicotine is its preferred ligand, meaning what binds to it. If nicotine is present and it is bound to the N7 nicotinic acetylcholine receptor, nothing else can get in. That is the way that the spike protein gets into the cell. It binds to that receptor. So if nicotine is not present and you walk through a group that's shedding, you will get some spike. And if it isn't, if it binds, you will start getting headaches, vaginal bleeding, all kinds of stuff, because these receptors are present all over the body. So I recommend, I am not a doctor. I typically put, my wife, I chew the gum. But my wife puts a 3.5 milligram patch on every day. So you can take a 21, cut it 6, you can take 14, cut it in fourths, take a 7, cut it in half. Doesn't really matter. Just put it on unhairy skin, right? Typically the forearm. But every single day. Now she says, well, I could take a break. I'm not going to leave. Yeah, I get it. That's fine. Yeah. If you know you're not going anywhere, if you're just going to be on the farm, you probably don't need it. But if you're going anywhere, you got to have that patch on. Because you're going to get shed on. Nattokinase is okay. I'm okay with natto. But again, the trouble with natto is the formulation. I mean, everybody has natto now. And so it's like everything else. It's going to have all kinds of toxins built in if you don't know where your natto is coming from. And very few of us are going to be able to ferment soybeans. We'll try, but no. And I want to shout out to the Heartwise Ministries. Dr. David Markham. Anybody heard of him? Right. HeartwiseMinistries.com. He's a cardiologist. He's a biblical cardiologist. He has a biblical prescription for life. It's an amazing website. Well worth it. David, like me, has had the transformation of his practice. His happened way long ago. I had to be kicked out of medicine before I had my transformation. But his happened 30 years ago because he was raised, he's a Christian man. And when he got into medicine, that didn't change. He lives the Christian life and he helps others. So he's a really wonderful resource. Questions?
I had a blood draw this week, and I had an occasion to talk to a lab person, and I was inquiring about a test for the presence of the spike. Is there one? Yeah, that's what she said.
Yeah, no, there isn't. The trouble with spike is that because it's a protein, it's really easy to degrade, but shedders are going to be sending out degraded protein, but also active protein. And they send it out in billions of copies. So you walk through a cloud of stuff and you're going to get, so for me, it doesn't really matter because I know if I'm going to be out and about, I'm going to get shed on because 80% of people in Maine have had at least one shot. And so they're still making it. 2 years later, that's the latest Harvard study. I mean, come on. 2 years later? Hmm. Oh, it's supposed to be in your arm for like a couple days, and then it's all gone. No, so nicotine. Get yourself some nicotine patches and just start using them. That's all.
That's interesting. That's nicotine. I got a dear, very dear Christian nephew he's had urinary problems, and he's somewhat aware of the system out there, and they don't apparently really care about it. And no. He's been struggling, and all. I could go on and on and on.
Yeah.
And on and on and on. I wish you could be his doctor. But what is that guy's website? Do you have his?
David Markham, HeartWise Ministries, one word, .com.
HeartWise?
Heart. The beating heart. He's a cardiologist. But don't hold it against him.
HeartWise Ministries.
I know you're going to, in another talk, you're going to talk more about the DMSO. But where is a good source of information? Because somebody told me years ago with a knee, I had a knee injury or something, and they say put that on the knee.
Yeah.
And so I go to Tractor Supply and get it.
Right.
And,
That's it. So
all the other stuff that can do or what it does, because I know in the 80s it actually had made 60 minutes when they took that thing off.
Yeah. I mean, DMSO was big in the 60s, and then the FDA decided to vilify it because it was really going to actually transform the pharmaceutical industry, and they didn't want to be transformed. Oh, okay. So, the racehorses, that's where I got it from, because I said, gee, now Samson's foot is swollen. Put some DMSO on it. I did.
Okay. Good.
Gone. 15 minutes later. I mean, I was like, what just happened here? So a knee injury is a classic, you know, just put it on. My farrier, wonderful man, was kicked by a horse right here. And he's got to use his hand. He's got 20 horses. He's got a shoe. He went right into the tack room, found the DMSO, put it on it, wrapped it real tight. And in 5 minutes, all it did was hurt. But he could use it. Mm. Whereas in 5 minutes later, his whole hand would have been completely exploded. Mm. So the horse industry has known about DMSO for decades. So that's why you go to Tractor Supply, get some, and that's the stuff. That's the stuff that I use to cut, and I put it on my skin.
I could give great personal testimonials myself about DMSO and chlorine dioxide, but I won't right now. But a couple things, Glenn. We used to do, you mentioned foraging, and you know, you said what part of the supermarket is left? The parking lot is a great place.
Exactly right. Good point.
Or actually identify things in the parking lot and go find them somewhere else a little better.
Yeah.
Perhaps. But you mentioned foraging, so I'm wondering if you know, we're doing more foraging events, and I love leading these tours, and you know, I think I'm quite qualified. I've used over 200 different wild edible plants and so forth, but I'm not so qualified in what I'd like to recommend, and that would be that we find somebody who is really knowledgeable about the nutritional value of these plants. Because you talk about, where do we get the things that we need to eliminate the need for supplements and that sort of thing? And,
right.
And I think a lot of it's found in the wild, but
right.
I don't know.
I was just going to say about vitamin K.
Are you volunteering?
Well, I was just going to say, for vitamin K, definitely nettles right now.
Yeah.
And shepherd's purse.
So if you can't find anybody more qualified, so I'm recommending that we do a, you know, maybe separate from a foraging day, maybe an indoor event like this, where we actually go over the nutritional value in those plants.
I agree.
If no one else volunteers, I could do it, but I'd have to really brush up. My wife could do it, but she will not do it. She doesn't want to speak publicly in front of people.
Okay.
Yeah, but she can counsel us.
She could. I'm not going to pressure her to doing that.
Nah, I know.
But I'd love to have an event, so I'm just tossing that out.
I like that. I mean, to me, the reason I just spent foraging and then 30 seconds later I was off of it was because I know nothing.
Yeah, well, we're doing more foraging events. And.
But I like this. This would be good. I mean, it's really easy for me to, because I've got so many things that are just sitting, marshmallow room. I mean, I got all kinds of things are sitting in my cupboard. I might as well go and finally find out what they do.
I think you could find that stuff in the wild. And,
right.
You know, the nutritional density is amazing. But one more word about foraging. We used to forage quite a few years ago. Back when I lived in southern Maine, before we met Bill, and he really started getting us thinking more clearly about toxins and being careful what we eat and that sort of thing. I've been foraging since I was 13 years old, but so a lot of places we foraged had amazing wild plants in abundance and that were big, robust specimens that were delicious our favorite place to get dandelion roots for our dandelion root coffee substitute was in some of these farmers' fields where we would forage, and his cow corn after he harvested the fields would be yellow with dandelion, and he would then harrow the fields, and we go with trash bags and just pick up the uprooted dandelion. Yeah. We then learned that this guy was soaking his fields with glyphosate every year. So I guess the point I'm getting to is
careful what you eat.
If you think you're avoiding the toxins and getting the nutrition you need simply because you're eating wild plants, that may not be the case depending upon where you're getting them.
So I think that it would be a good way. I mean, I am happy to do the research, the background research, to help you.
Okay.
If you were to give me the list of the plants that you would anticipate finding in your spring event.
Okay.
And I'll then have a little medical blurb.
I think that would be
at each station, that'd be great.
Like indoor evening event.
Yeah.
So, you know, if people came to the foraging field days and took careful notes, or you can get books, it's not hard to, you know, get to a place where you can identify these plants, and then we can talk about them in more detail in an event like this. Does that sound reasonable?
Right. Agreed.
Sound appealing?
Yes.
Yeah. Sherry, you had a question.
Well, I went and bought some nicotine patches, but when I, like the supplements, when I read the other ingredients, I'm like, I'm not putting that on my skin.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's very hard to find. You should grow your own tobacco.
Yeah.
It's a simple thing.
You can have it.
It's really, I mean, you know, it grows like a weed up here in Maine.
It's beautiful, too.
And it's the best antiparasitic of all. The old farmers swear by it. They just fed their cows.
So if you grow it, you just be eating flour or leaf?
I'd have to look into that. I mean, it's the leaf more than the flour. I have a good friend who used to, because Connecticut is one of the world's capital for the wrappers on cigars. And he used to go up and hang the, so he knows a lot about the tobacco leaves. Brian.
Think about this. Excluding farmers' fields, the wild is way bigger than the grocery store.
True enough.
Way bigger.
Yeah. Good. Gary.
So, we don't trust the medical system. We've learned, most of us in this room, we're not trusting it. Yeah. We only go there under dire circumstances.
Well, that's how you should. You know, my farrier's wife had a twisted gut.
Yeah.
Right.
That is a death sentence within 24 hours, but she's a nurse. She knew what had happened. They went right to the emergency room with an emergency surgery within a couple of years. So the 85% of medicine, which is crap, is not the 15% of medicine, which is trauma surgery.
That's right.
Life-saving.
That's right. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. But what I'm leading to is, so therefore, we're sort of doctor-averse and hospital-averse, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we have, my wife and I have questions for people who are like us that don't want to go to the doctor, but they want to find someone they can go to that they can trust.
Yeah.
Someone who's of integrity, who said, I'm not taking the jab, nor am I going to push it on you because it's bad for you. Do you have a network of physicians that we could know about, or when we get questions, like where do we send somebody, or where do we need to go ourselves?
Right. So first of all, you say, of course, always email me. It's easy enough to do.
Okay.
But, and what I can't find, I'll try to find the answer. But the there is a pretty large naturopathic physician group in Maine. I mean, there's about 50 of them.
Okay.
Now, all naturopaths are not all naturopaths. So some of them are still on the dark side, but a lot of them are okay. The trouble is that the most okay ones are like the most okay holistic vets. They're all packed. And, you know, they have no need to expand their service because there's just already. So, but it's hard because that's the function that Paul served.
Yes, it is.
And it's a giant hole in Central Maine when, now that Paul's not here.
Well, it is. It's ironic you mentioned his name because he just texted me.
Get out.
At 7:20. Hey, Gary, could you use your guidance on an issue when you have time? I should also send a short video for you to watch. Thanks, brother. So I don't know what's up with this dude, but I do know he's facing, as I've